What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 278, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, of course, gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast on going. With me is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not a lot. I'm ready to podcast. I'm just in a good mood. Like, yeah. I didn't feel rushed tonight. Like, pretty decent day. I'm good.
Yeah, so I'm
ready to go.
I feel good to podcast. I'm back to these. I don't know what these are.
Called. Monsters? Oh no,
this cosmic stardust stuff. It is as it trips on the keyboard and breaks it. It is amazing. It's so good. And I like the monsters I have are like the bigger ones. So this is like a little smaller. So I don't know, but only 10 calories in this and zero.
You kind of got me on that, the watermelon Red Bull and that stuff. Like, I love the flavor of that. Like, I don't mind the original Red Bull, but that watermelon stuff's good. There's a summer one that's like dragon fruit or something.
I did see that. Yeah. But, like, every time I go, so like I do grocery shopping at Target. Every time I go to Target, like, I go down the energy drink aisle or section, and I'm like, oh, this one looks good. I'll try this. And then, like, throughout the, like, next couple of weeks of podcasts, I usually try one. So
gotcha.
We have Dark in the chat. They said hello. If you are in the chat, definitely say what's up. This is, of course, a live stream, also our podcast. So if you want to chat with us, ask questions, definitely go ahead and do that. And if you want to follow along, we do have our full show notes that has everything that we're going to be talking about this week. So if you want to follow along with us, you can definitely do that. The link for that is in the description of the video or audio that you're watching or listening to. So
maybe Dark is like a motherboard.
Definitely one of our stories this week. So, but before we get into that, let's talk about reviews this week. I took a look at two really cool products and two that were like just good products. So I was impressed with both. And I think that that sometimes it doesn't happen a lot, you know, both products are like, I don't know. I was just really impressed with both. So first,
it's not like a product every time has to be like amazing, right? Like, there's just good products, right? That are just like, they do what they are supposed to. They're not like this flashy product. And it's still like exciting to review those types of products that are just like a good all around product.
Yeah. I definitely, and we need those products because I think the big flashy, they're more expensive and things like that. Yep. And sometimes you just need... Yeah, sometimes you just need that, you know, everybody needs the products to get them by, or just, you know, a lot of times it's like those hard drives that they just go in your, like, you know, they just go in your system and they're not flashy or anything like that. But this product is flashy that we're taking a look at, and it is Thermaltake's TUFFRAM XG RGB. They sent us a 16-gigabyte kit that runs at 4,000 megahertz. And this is sort of like their second generation of TUFFRAM RGB. If you guys remember, they came out with TUFFRAM maybe 2018, 2019. And then they came out with TUFFRAM RGB, which added the RGB. And I do think that the original TUFFRAM had an incredibly unique design. And I think when it comes to designing heat spreaders, it's like so hard because, I mean, it's just like a piece of, you know, it's just this little piece of metal that covers up the PCB and the memory. And I think on the original TUFFRAM, Thermaltake did a good job. And on this sort of, I call this like the second generation. Yeah, I do like it. It's different. So we have black on one side and then this sort of like pattern on this other side, which says TUFFRAM.
Is that like a black chrome in the center there?
Yeah, so it's like a reflective sort of chrome kind of color right there. And the reason they have that, and it's kind of hard to see, is that this is a section where you actually have RGB lighting as well. So like most RGB memory, the top of the memory is, of course, where you'll find RGB. There is a white diffuser up there. But then there's this other section in the middle, not in the middle, but towards the top of each module that is just like this little kind of triangle that also lights up with RGB memory, which is, or with RGB lighting, which is a little different. It's like, again, it's so hard to just like, oh, we'll put a light bar at the top and that's kind of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And with this, it's just a little different. It's something different. And we'll fast forward to the lighting. And as you can see, it just adds just a little, like I said, just, you know, you have
variety in there.
Yeah. It's just something different. And I think that, at least with Thermaltake and their Tough RAM, they've come out with memory that doesn't look like everybody else's. And I do like that. I think that's, you know, that's, like I said, it's cool because we see so many that just have the plain diffuser, and this is just a little bit different. And you can see the heat spreaders kind of do like they kind of crisscross. And that's where you see, you know, these, you can,
and
see
it looks like those are really nice diffusers too, for the most part. They look like they have really good blending of those LEDs in there so that you don't get like the individual lighting spots, so, which I really like.
So there's a total of 8 RGB LEDs in each module. So it's a total of 16. And they're all individually controllable. They have their own software, which actually works pretty well. They have a ton of different settings. You could control each LED individually, as I said. Works really well. It's just their Tough RAM software. And the software will show you like information on the each memory stick and all that kind of stuff as well. But it's super easy to use. Now, if you don't want to use their software, this memory will be detected by all the major motherboard RGB software. So I just tested it with Gigabyte's RGB Fusion. Came up, you can see all 8 of the RGB LEDs there, and then we could set it to whatever. But I do think that the Tough RAM software has more customization than the Gigabyte RGB Fusion does, because there's a lot more presets and you can do a lot more with this, which I really like. So I really like this kit. It performed really well. It's a 4,000 megahertz kit. I was actually able to overclock it all the way up to 4,400 megahertz without touching the timings or the voltage. It just worked. Nice. Which was pretty impressive. If I went over that, it wasn't having
anything hard.
Yeah. But that's full stability test and everything at 4,400 megahertz, which is really impressive. You know, and Thermaltake will offer the XG RGB in kits, only 16 gig kits right now. And they'll range from 3,600 megahertz all the way up to 4,600 megahertz. So definitely a good range, and you'll see this new memory that's going to come out. Like, nobody's going to be making 2666 anymore. Like, you know, all these new kits are going to be probably start at 3200 megahertz, if not 36, and they'll go up from there. So I gave this a 9 out of 10. Memory, just like a lot of products, is expensive right now.
We got so used to it being high for a really long time, and then we had a nice like 6 months to maybe a year of just super cheap RAM, and now it's kind of going back up again.
So this kit is selling for $178.43 on Amazon right now, which is not great, but again, I don't think that's no fault to Thermaltake. That's just the kind of all the 16 gig kits that are running at 4,000 megahertz are around that price. You know what I mean? Check out the review. Like I said, I do like this memory. Definitely would be one that if you're looking for, you know, you build a new system and you're looking for RGB memory, it's definitely worth giving them a shot. And this is the first memory that I've reviewed from Thermaltake. Again, we if you remember, Thermaltake was mainly a case and CPU cooler company, and now they're making a ton of different stuff. So very, very cool. There we have Old Man in the chat. He's usually with us every week. He said RGB all the things. Yeah, even in my room. I mean, my room's kind of RGB. Well, yeah, sort of. We got some colors and stuff. I got the blinds down, so we have a little bit of darkness in this room. But yeah, and if you would look at my system, it's just full of RGB. It's kind of So
I was RGB in my case for quite a while, and then I kind of changed up to like a gold and white look. But
it is nice to, so like I like the RGB, and but it is nice to be like, oh, I'm gonna do like a blue and white, or you know, like something a little different. It yeah. is, especially like those new Corsair fans where you have the inner circle.
Color, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you have the inner circle and the outer circle. So you yep. make the inner circle one color. So like that would be the blue, and then the white would be, you know, would be the outer circle. That'd be really cool. So, yep. so yeah. So, anyhow. Talking about Corsair, which I didn't even mean to bring them up, but I took a look at one of their newer gaming keyboards, the K55 RGB Pro XT. Now, if you looked at this keyboard, just off the bat, how much do you think it would cost? If you haven't read this review or saw anything we posted on social media today.
I mean, I would think that it's probably like $89.99.
For a full-size keyboard.
I know that it, like, I'm pretty sure it's plastic. Just by looking yes. at it, I could tell it's not as, like... So, like, $89 to $109, maybe?
Okay.
At the most?
Yeah, this keyboard is $59.99.
Okay. I'm just noticing, because I haven't read this, and I didn't really look into this, because I wasn't
yeah.
that interested in the product, but I'm already noticing, like, oh, it's got some keys off to the left, so, like, that's some additional value there. And you've got yeah, the controls up top. That's... It's a pretty good price so far.
So K55 is set to be a budget keyboard, and obviously by the price of being $59.99, is very, very budget. If you think full size gaming keyboard,
yeah.
That's made by Corsair.
Right. Which most of theirs have that aluminum top, right? So
yeah.
there's a little more cost there. Yeah, usually you would think like $129 to $1.
Yeah,
$179 or $199.
Their top of the line gaming keyboard, which looks very similar to this, but there's a lot of things that are different. Like the K100 RGB is $229. So
holy cow, it's that much.
Yeah, so this is obviously very, very budget oriented. Yeah. But it is a full size keyboard. Comes with the included wrist rest, which is nice. The massive difference is that you don't have mechanical key switches. Yep. You have membrane switches with a rubber dome, which is fine. And the thing is,
at this price point, that's yeah, acceptable.
Yeah, at this price point, it is. But I like use this for a couple weeks, and especially typing, it is kind of nice. And if you're in like a shared room, like a dorm room, or you share a room with a sibling, or you're in a shared office space or whatever, mechanical keyboards are loud, especially if you're like me and you like blue switches. Like these switches are very, very quiet, but they are very comfortable as well. Like I said, especially for typing, I was flying through writing reviews and news articles with this keyboard. It's just very comfortable. The switches are great, and because there's no physical, you have the rubber dome, and you have, if I go into actually where the switches are, like you have like these walls around the actual dome switch. This is like spill proof, kind of, not yeah. completely. Like if you would just pour water down in there, that's not gonna, you know, but it is spill proof. So if you are prone to spilling things on your keyboard, I just did it actually.
Splash proof, maybe.
Yeah. You know, or if you're buying this for somebody younger who is more prone to doing that, you have a little bit more peace of mind on that. But this is, as you can see, like this is fashioned after all of their more expensive keyboards, the K95, the K100, as I said. Full-size keyboard, you have 6G keys on the side, and they've moved over the functionality of these, so you can control these not only with IQ, but you can also control them with Elgato software as well. So they're keeping that as well. You also have full multimedia keys. You are not going to get everybody's favorite volume slider. You're just getting volume up and volume down buttons and a mute and on all that. So that obviously is missing as well. The K100 has PBT keycaps. You're just getting the basic ABS keycaps here, which most keyboards still have these days. the K60, the K65 and the K100 were the first, Corsair keyboards that had PBT keycaps. So definitely keep that in mind. Now, talking about this, as you can see in this picture, we do not have a, there's no metal top plate on this at all. No metal top plate. And it is basically all made of plastic, and the actual cable itself is rubber, no braided cable, nothing like that. So you can see where this is a more, you know, definitely Corsair went the budget route on this. Even the, like the wrist rest, has like a textured kind of plastic on it. It's not like it's not as nice as some of the other ones, but again, for a full-size keyboard, and if we go to the next page, we can see the lighting and everything like that. This has full RGB lighting on everything, and most very inexpensive keyboards, they're only going to allow you to do like zones. This is per key RGB. Like
six zones. So to see per key RGB lighting on this price point is awesome.
Per key RGB lighting, it's backed up by IQ. You can completely reprogram everything. You know, you can see just like in the RGB lighting is good. I think with all of that, it's very, very hard. And it, this also has hardware lighting as well. Corsair has implemented that on a lot of their newer products. So what hardware lighting is you set the lighting mode for whatever hardware lighting is. Say you want it to be like Rainbow Wave. So if you take this to your friend's house and you plug it in, it's still going to run Rainbow Wave. You don't have to, or if you just like, you're not a fan of IQ, you're like, I don't want that software. You set the hardware lighting once, uninstall IQ, and then every time you turn your computer on, it's still running that, you know, the hardware lighting that you want. And then there's software lighting that can be a lot, you know, more in depth and stuff like that, but still pretty cool. Like I said, full IQ support when it comes to everything. Another thing that is missing, there's no USB pass through. You have that on the K95s and K100. But for $60, like I can't be mad at it.
No. Does it have much flex at all?
It has some flex. Again, there's no aluminum top plate, right. but you're not going to get like with like the case, like there's noticeable flex, but it's not like you don't feel like you're going to break it or anything like that. You know what I mean? But it is lighter. Like when you pick this up, it is noticeably lighter than a K95 or a K100. But again, $60.
It's a pretty good deal.
You pair this up again,
with like a Harpoon mouse for like $20, and you've got a pretty good beginner setup.
Yeah, I think they should sell this with, like I said, like a you know, a more inexpensive gaming mouse and like a mouse pad, and like do it in a bundle. That'd be great. Like if they could do it for like $100, keyboard, mouse pad.
Yeah. That'd be like the perfect Christmas gift for.
Yeah, I know Cooler Master did that like a while ago, like 3 or 4 years ago. They had, I think that's what it was. It was keyboard, mouse. It might have even been a headset for like $100 or something. Corsair
might have a bundle similar to that.
Yeah.
Or I've seen before.
But again, like most inexpensive keyboards come from brands that you might not have heard of. So, one, the biggest thing I think I see is that you don't get software support on a lot of those, like those $5 products that you had got a while back.
You're not getting anything out of those.
Yeah. And again, if there is software support, it's usually bad. Corsair IQ, in my opinion, is good. It's not the best. It's not like, I think like SteelSeries is one of the best. Or like even Razer stuff is, in my opinion, really good for gaming software. But I think IQ is really good, and you get that. And then a lot of the keyboards won't have those extra G keys, which you do have. They won't have dedicated multimedia. And again, you're getting all that for $60. I guess can't be, you know, where we're used to these like really nice mechanical keyboards, but I don't think that the rubber dome switches are bad. They're not comparable to a mechanical switch, but they're not like, it's comfortable to type on. So again, for $60, I gave it a 9 out of 10 in our good value. You know, just it, it's like I said, $60, I can't say much bad about it. You know, everything that's taken off from the even the K95 or K100 makes sense, and they've kept all the kind of things that make it like a Corsair keyboard, like the G keys, the IQ support, the Perky RGB lighting, the dedicated multimedia buttons. Like, it's all there. So I said, check that out. Pick one up if you're looking for an inexpensive gaming keyboard. So yeah, that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And this week we have a build with, actually I have two of these. I haven't done what this person has done with them, but, the open test bench, open bench table BC1, I have two of them, and mine obviously doesn't look like this. But this is done by Metallic Acid. We've featured a bunch of his builds before, but he wanted a test bench, that's water cooled, obviously. And he's done a pretty good job in doing that. I mean, it is just it's made to be put on its side. He's somehow got this bracket to put this reservoir in here, because I believe that this reservoir is really built for a case, like an actual case, and then the feet and everything are actually the radiators. So I wish I could. It's like over there, but there's actually feet for this, and he's kind of just replaced those with the radiators.
Right. So if you sat it on its side.
Yeah,
what's normally flat, it would sit with the radiators. That's pretty cool. Now, I can't tell from these images. I'm not sure on those fittings without looking. Are these hard bin? Are these hard tubes, or is this soft? Because these look soft. Like. You sure?
Yeah, soft tube.
Okay.
I'm 90% sure they're rubber soft tubing.
I just didn't know if they were.
Yeah.
Either way, yeah, I do like this.
It's just like to make a functional test bench that, because again, I mean, this is the size of a motherboard. Like, it's pretty easy to pick this up. Like, that's why I bought two of them for testing our systems, is because it's so easy to pick up, put away, and all that stuff. So, this have to be soft tubing, pretty sure.
I mean, some of those bends, just they look solid enough and not flexed enough to
I will bet it's soft tubing.
All right, I need to just look up those EK fittings and
really cool stuff. Like I said, it's not like one of the crazy builds that we normally feature, but I just thought it was interesting, and it's just cool to see again what people can do. That's soft tubing. You can see like the little, it's soft tubing. I'm saying it's soft tubing. I'll message him on Facebook and we'll see what it is. But I'm like 90% sure it's soft tubing. I'm saying it's soft tubing. So definitely check that out. And of course, we have our full section of Case Mod Friday builds that you guys can check out. We have a ton. We have 44 pages of Case Mod Friday build. So if you want some inspiration or see what, you know, you're new to PC building and you want to see what you can do, that's definitely, you can just scroll through that for hours to see awesome builds. So go ahead and check that out. And we are still running our contest with Viper Gaming. That's Patriot's gaming brand. There are 5 days left to get your entry in. We are giving away a Viper V380 gaming headset, Viper V765 gaming keyboard, and Viper V570 blackout gaming mouse. Super easy to enter. You just fill out the form here on Gleam, and you're done. And there's 17 different ways to enter, so you can have up to seven. There's actually more, because some of the things are worth a little bit more. I think in total, like 24 more entries. So 24 plus 2 is 26 total entries that you can get into this contest. Awesome contest. And I always, the past 2 weeks, I've said this wrong. Each person wins one product. So one person wins the headset, one person wins the keyboard, and one person wins the mouse. So summer is here, and summer is the best time to game. Just you know, a lot of people are off school. So definitely some stuff to get you guys going for gaming. So old man agreed with me. He said, I think it's soft tubing. So I think
we're, I'm looking.
I'm pretty sure it's soft
tubing. ZMT mat tubing. So keep going.
So we'll move on from that. Definitely get your entry in for the contest, guys. Five more days left. So by the time you hear this, if you're listening on audio, it'll probably be 4 days left. So definitely get your entry in for that. We'll move on to news. And the first thing has to do with graphics cards. Somebody overclocked the Galax GeForce RTX 3080 Ti Hall of Fame OC Lab Edition. This is the one that's extremely highly binned. And they overclocked it to 2.8 gigahertz. It was Rauf, he overclocked it to 2.775 gigahertz. And then the Overclocking Gaming Systems OGS team overclocked it to 2.8 gigahertz. Looks like a pretty crazy setup when it comes to overclocking. You have your LN2 pot there and all that, but the lab edition of the card is so highly binned. You can do that, and the card, the power design of the card, 24 phase power design on the card, so it can handle the higher voltages that you're going to throw at it. So it's no surprise they got up to 2.8 gigahertz. Do you think you could overclock your 3070?
I don't have a 3070, but
I thought you had. Wait, are you have a 2070?
2070 Super.
Yeah, 2070 Super. That's
yep, a little
that's
behind.
Yeah. But yeah, really awesome overclocking there. This next story. Somebody leaked this photo, which is right here, which is of at least the top part of which looks like a CPU socket, and it's interesting because it says LGA-17XX. LGA-18XX. And typically when it comes to Intel, we don't have multiple different sockets. You know what I mean? That's the biggest thing. So we know that
the thing is, that's just the cover, right? That's just the little protector. So there may be different sockets underneath, and this cover is just compatible made the same, with both, right?
Yeah, they just made the same cover.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. It's what
hold on a second. I'll be right back.
Yeah, holding. And I think you're right about the tubing. Because, yeah, if it's the ZMT stuff, that is a soft tubing from EK.
Told you. So we were right. So now this one just says... you can see it says, I don't know if you guys
can see
actually. Let me, so this one's from a Z590 board. If I can put it over my face, there we go.
There you go, right
this
there.
One, yep, this one just says, XX. This one just says LGA 12XX. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this, you know, again, that you would think that there would be one for LGA 17XX and one for LGA 18XX just because. I find it hard to believe that just the top would be labeled differently, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that
I'm just saying that it's the socket size and every dimensions may be the same for both sockets.
Yeah. Do you think we'll come to a point where we get more than two generations of Intel processors that run on the same socket?
No. I don't.
That's kind of what we've been at.
Yeah. I don't know.
You've had 8th and 9th to run on, and then you had 10th and 11th.
Yeah.
Who knows? And AM4 has been on...
AM4 has been around since the original Ryzen.
Yeah. And if you remember... AMD is going from a PGA, which is where you put your pins down in the little holes, to LGA, which Intel uses, which has the pins as part of the socket. I think we talked about this, but which one you prefer?
I prefer the PGA as opposed to LGA. And you were talking about how you had bent, you know, stuff.
Yeah, you bent them pins, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my preference.
But anyways, this picture, you know, the next generation, 12th generation, will use LGA 1700. So does this mean that there's like boards or out there maybe, or at least something that are kind of, you know, test boards or whatever that are already out there? I don't know. But it would be nice if we got like four generations of Intel processors on the same socket. You know what I mean?
Of course, quite a bit, but yeah. I mean, it'd be great, especially if they're compatible. I mean, just because you got the same socket doesn't mean everything else is going to be compatible, but it would be nice if we could go through that. And, you know, that was kind of AMD's thing from the start of Ryzen, and I feel like they were a little deceptive or maybe changed it up a bit, because they were like, oh, you're going to be able to use this AM4 board for, like, generations. And, I mean, it worked for a while, but there were so many like, oh, but you got to be at this, or you got to have this chipset, and so it felt a little disingenuous once we were a ways into that architecture and everything. But I don't know, that's probably just wishful thinking.
Well, talking about AMD, we know EVGA, and I'm sure most of you guys know EVGA for their graphics cards. They're one of the biggest NVIDIA graphics card partners. They have
their For the Win. So
they're For the Win cards, FTWs, but they have like I said, their cards are very, very popular. But they put out this little teaser video that says Dark. I can play it right here, but I mean it's just
10 seconds.
Yeah, it's only 10 seconds. It just says Dark. And then it has the Ryzen logo, which means that we are going to see an EVGA motherboard for Ryzen processors. So EVGA, for the most part, has always made Intel motherboards. They do make motherboards. They're actually really unique, mainly focused more towards overclockers, especially their Dark boards. They have made AMD boards in the past, but I wouldn't call them full AMD boards because they use the NVIDIA, the Enforce chipset, which was what? I mean, that's
long time ago, the 680i. Yeah. I looked it up like when I saw this. Yeah. Brings back the Intel like core or, yeah.
Yeah. So technically they did make motherboard for AMD processor, but this is going to be for Ryzen, and that was so long ago. So this is going to be their first Ryzen-powered motherboard, we would assume. They just put out this. It says a new darkness is coming, and it has this graphic. I think we're going to get an X570S Dark, I think. You would think it would be an X570S because that's the new, you know, everybody's going to the X570S. So I'm a fan of it. I really like their dark boards. They're really great for overclockers. I think EVGA, if you looked at any of their boards, they kind of just like go against convention. You know, a lot of the dark boards only have two memory slots because, again, they're made for overclocking. Yep. So you don't need all of that. They don't have a lot of extras. They have all of the connections coming out of the board are at a 90 degree angle and like indented up into the board a lot of the times. Which is really cool as well. So I think I'm excited for this. I would love to see. I mean, do you think it's anything else? I mean, it has to be X570.
Well, I mean, what else can it be? Because it's not like they're, you know, going to start making AMD video cards, because that's the logo for Ryzen, right?
Yeah.
And Dark is their line of, like you said, motherboards. So yeah, they've got to have something in the works. I almost wish we would have seen this at Computex, right?
Yeah,
but
do you think this also speaks to AMD in how you know, a company traditionally making Intel boards is going to now offer an AMD board as well. I mean, it definitely speaks to the popularity of Ryzen and just the, like, because if you guys remember, like, first gen Ryzen was kind of iffy, especially with the memory issues and a lot of the other stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll give you that. But yeah, there's so much like market to be had, I think, with AMD that they're just missing out on that whole slice.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think them moving into the AMD realm is a smart choice. And I think there's a lot of people that'll be excited. I'm excited to see it. Hopefully they have more than just a dark board. But I think
They usually have three. There's usually a dark, a for the win, and something else. I can look it up.
I would definitely consider an EVGA board again, because I think the last time I had mine was with a long time ago.
Z590. So they have a Z590 for the win. Oh, they only have one Z590 board?
Do they have more 490s?
I thought there was a Z590 dark. We like covered it. We didn't review it, but we like covered it. Okay, there was a Z490 dark, and is all they have listed on the website. Maybe it's because it's like when you look at this, it shows like their web shop, and maybe this is what's only available. Because I'm only seeing a dark and a for the win, and one Z590 and one Z490. Oh wait, that's it. That's weird. They don't have any of their older boards listed either.
Because we looked. We had an article back in, this was January, of them debuting their Z590 chipset boards, and one of them was a dark in our article. They had a dark and a for the win, at least that we covered. So
yeah, but I always thought they had three. They had three boards. There was like a dark, a for the win, and something else. I don't know. But they don't have any of like their Z390 or any of those older boards listed. Yeah, they don't even show them. And then I know they had X299 boards as well. They don't show them either. So, old man in the chat, he says the EVGA Supernova 650 GT 80 Plus Gold Power Supply is $49.99 on Amazon. Yeah, there's actually a lot of good power supplies on sale right now on Amazon. We posted one today. There's the ASUS ROG one. There's a Cooler Master. I know the EVGA is on there. EVGA power supplies actually go on sale fairly regularly on Amazon, so definitely check that out as well. Corsair new cases, kind of the same cases that they put out, except for they're bigger. So they released their full tower 7000 series, which is a 7000D airflow and a IQ 700X, 7000X RGB. These are like the 4000 series, except for they're bigger, basically. So you can fit EATX, probably even, what's the other one? The like CBB or whatever. Really, really big
board.
It appears that you could do it. Could you do a 480 in the front? I'm thinking, because I think these are 140.
Those are 140s. Yeah, it comes with three 140s. So you probably could, because it looks like there's room above and below those three fans.
Yeah. So it looks like, again, these are like the 4000 series, which we saw.
So huge.
Yeah, these are very, very big. So one is the high airflow, which is the black one that you can see here. I believe it will be also offered in white as well. High airflow, so no tempered glass on the front, and you have just this kind of grill that's actually built into the front of the case. And then the IQ 7000X RGB is tempered glass and all of that. So I haven't been impressed with a Corsair case. Like, these make sense. And if you think about their competition and ZXT with a case that's very symmetrical and look just like these with the Corsair fans, they're going to look good. And then if you add in Corsair components, they're going to look good, right? And you can see in these pictures, like all this stuff looks good. So it's like that Corsair ecosystem. So like that's why the case is kind of plain. That's why like the NZXT cases, they're very plain, but they highlight what's inside. And if you have matching NZXT hardware inside, you get the same kind of look. I hate these stupid windows though.
I do too. I'm so tired of them because the pictures never match up, right? Like some vendors have the logo on A and then others are the opposite. So some half the time they're upside down. It doesn't fit the window. Like I don't need a window to my power supply. It's the dumbest thing.
Nobody cares ever. What power supply you have. No, even I mean, if it's the ROG one with the RGB on it, like nobody cares.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen like people put screens there to show off. Like, that's the only thing that's good for. And and then it's like now you got to fit a screen between there. No, I hate it.
I'm not the biggest fan. I do like if we look at the rear of the case.
Yeah,
I'm liking this. I'm liking that you have all of the cable routing, which is nice. With this like dedicated track, I would call it. You have fan controller, or
one. It's not a Commander Pro. It's I forget the name of that device, but I think it does six fans and like six or eight RGB.
Okay, gotcha.
But it's not a Commander Pro, but it's very similar.
I'm a big fan of like making things easy for me for when it comes to wiring cases. So I do like that. I really like the back design there. So Old Man said lots of room for water cooling. Yeah, like I said, it looks like you could at least do 480 in the front, 360 up top. And I mean, there's a picture with like some of the, you know, like a water cooled build there. It looks like you could do vertical GPU. I assume a vertical GPU kit
three slot.
will be like $50 extra. You probably pay for it. Won't come with the case, but yeah, I mean, like again, like that looks like a Corsair, like, and again, everything here is Corsair minus the monitor. You know, that looks good. It looks like a solid, like, you know, that's going to look awesome. So for everybody who was wanting a larger 4000 series case, you now have it. So yeah, like I said, I like the way they look. I really liked like Corsair cases of like 5 years ago where they were like really doing different stuff and like really making the cases stand out more. And these are more like, again, I know like this is kind of what we're going towards. I mean, NZXT did it and we're incredibly successful at it. So I just think that it makes sense for Corsair to kind of go that way as well. So, also a products that we haven't talked about, but I did want to talk about it. Flash drives, man. Like I don't really use, I only use flash drives to load Windows on the test machines. Like I use a flash drive, but beyond that, I really don't use flash drives.
I have an encrypted one that I use for work, and that's it.
What's the reason?
I got a drawer full of them.
What's the reason you don't use a flash drive? Capacity or speed?
No, because I have some really nice ones. Some pretty decently quick. You know, USB-C, high capacity, like 128 gig, which to me is fine, right? 128 gigs is fine to be on there. I don't know. I just don't. Maybe it's that internet speeds are fast enough that. Just download instead of just having these applications in my pocket and do I have what I needed on there or whatever.
That's very true.
Because I used to download another one, right?
Yeah, like I used to put like, so like the flash drives I used to carry would be like, you know, picture, I had to have like pictures for reviews or things that I'm edit, like, you know, photos I'm editing or whatever. But now it's like I just put them on Dropbox or I put them on Google Drive and you're good.
They're on my NAS and then I can get to it from anywhere and it's backed up now. And, you know, do I have the latest version on this drive? I did use them a lot more when I did more like repairs and like troubleshooting and fixing things. I'd have like certain utilities on there. And that was always helpful.
They're really,
I'm trying to fix your computer. And the problem is that you don't have, you know, your internet's not working. Okay, well, I can't go and download anything now. Yeah. And so, that's mostly what I used them for. And I don't really do that anymore. So,
Well, in any case, Patriot has launched their Supersonic Rage Prime, which is a US, which is a USB 3.2 Gen 2 flash drive. Speeds up to 600 megabytes a second, so it's faster than an SSD, a normal SATA SSD, which is capacity is 2,500 and 1 terabyte. Not huge fan of the design, but
It's pretty cheap looking. Like, this looks like the kind that when I worked in higher ed, every freshman or college student had. It was just like the generic SanDisk or Transcend drive, right? That's what this looks like.
I do like the speed, 600 megabytes a second read.
Capacity is awesome.
Yeah, and up to 1 terabyte. I mean, that's a lot of stuff in your pocket.
Well, yeah, a lot to lose, but depending on the price, I guess.
Yeah. No word on price. Oh, here we go. We can just see them on Amazon. The 1 terabyte is $169.99, so I don't think that's horrible.
No.
Yeah, for how small. I think the big thing is, and it's kind of hard right now because you are getting, what's it called? You are getting a lot of these, you know, portable SSDs are very, very small. I don't think they're as, like, that drive is, I mean, it's like,
it's super,
tiny. You can get portable SSDs that are a little bit bigger. But then you have to worry about compatibility issues. Like, you know, it's a type C. Do you have a type C or does it come with a type C to type A? So I like that drive. Like I said, super fast for a little flash drive. I mean, definitely something that you could, some people can definitely take advantage of for sure. So, talking about storage, and you were saying losing your data, this happened recently. So probably, I mean, a while ago, Western Digital released MyBook Live hard drives. And these were like sort of like a NAS, but not really, not like your typical NAS. Basically, it was a hard drive you connect to the internet, then you can access your files. That's kind of what they were. These went out of support back in, when was this? Back in 2015. So that shows you how old these are. So that's when they went out of service. So Western Digital obviously wasn't updating with security fixes and things like that. And just recently, a lot of users woke up to their MyBook Live being completely formatted and deleted.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah, how upset would you be? Especially like if you think about it, like, you know, you buy this for your parents or your grandparents and you just like leave it. You just like, you know,
you're like, all right, just make sure you keep all your stuff here and it's backed up and you'll be good to go. Well, I say backed up. It's another copy of it.
And, it and then all of the data's gone. Like, I mean, I've lost hard drives that I couldn't get the stuff back. And I mean, it is pretty upsetting. I mean, that's why we do have like multiple, like we, you and I both, like we have NASs and we have cloud storage and all this other stuff that we do. You know, I would be upset. And it seems Western Digital obviously said like their first action was disconnect it from the internet, like just unplug it. And they're not really sure what's going on. People posted like the log file, and it basically just tells it to just reset itself, to like reset the, you know, to factory default, factory restore. So that is not good. You know, old man in the chat, he said 3-2-1 rule reads that in order to ensure secure data storage is required to have at least the following 3 backups, which have to be saved to 2 different pieces of media. And you
one,
said,
well, the 3-2-1, the one needs to be in a different physical location.
Yeah. It's not like if you have import, like I know people that have like, oh man, like a NAS is so expensive, or I don't want to pay monthly for cloud storage, or why should I?
Do you want your files?
Yeah. Like I don't want to buy an external, like a certain, you know, like one of these drives. Like I don't want to do that. And then something happens, like power loss, and then their drive dies or whatever. And it's just like, you should always just spend the money to back it up, because like, I think the biggest thing, and that's what happened to one of my drives, is like, I had photos on there that I just I just got lazy and wasn't backing them up. And like, those are photos I'm never going to get back. Just never going to get them back. And I think for a lot of people, that's what it is. It's not like, you know, you can go get a song, or you can, you know, re-download a game, or even have to repurchase a game or whatever. But like the memories, I think that's the biggest thing. And, you know, having those memories, paying whatever you pay for either Google storage or the cost of a NAS, you know, or cost of an external drive or whatever, I think is well worth it. I think everybody should.
I think there's another piece to that too, like especially with photos, like there's other documents and stuff that are a little different, but with photos, we take so many pictures now, like just people in general. Like, I mean, I have thousands upon thousands of pictures that I've taken, and when am I ever going to go back and look at them? Probably never, right? But just knowing that they're so, like, if I were to lose them, yeah, it'd suck. But I don't know. We take so many pictures and don't ever look at them again. It's just like the, you know, a shoebox full of
photos,
right? That are under some bed or in a closet that never get looked at until like a parent passes away and you're going through them looking for something. It's, I don't know.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, back your stuff up, and RAID is not a backup solution either. So
yeah,
just keep that.
So if you do have one of these MyBook Lives, I'm sure you already know by now because it was like all over the internet.
I was reading, people are like, oh well, if they didn't know, now they know. Really? Because I'm guessing there's a lot of people that have these and they've got it working, and maybe weren't affected by this but are vulnerable.
Yeah.
Like, How did Western Digital let these people know, right? It maybe if you registered your product and, you know, for a warranty, you might have gotten an email. But if you just plugged it in and used it and you're just a regular, you bought it at Best Buy, who's telling you that it's vulnerable?
You have to have an account.
Okay.
So that's true. They would have to email they have your email for that account.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they could push it. I assume they could push out like an update, like that it would like
possibly. I mean, I know they stopped supporting it, I think, in 2018.
2015.
Oh, it was 2015 that they stopped supporting this device? Yeah. I thought that's when I'd read when that came out. Okay. I was off a little bit then.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it's just bad to lose data. So again, if you have that, hey, if you have one of those, check with, I don't know if WD had put out anything else since then, but definitely disconnect it until they do. That brings us to Windows 11. Everybody's been talking about it this week. It's been, people have been running into issues where when they try to run that, that leaked ISO, it said you get a little error that says this PC can't run Windows 11. PC must support TPM 2.0. TPM 2.0 is trusted platform module, right? That's what it's called. I'm smart. I know these. I'm a computer guy. I know these things.
I mean, it says it right there in the first paragraph, but yes.
Oh, does it? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. I wasn't even reading that, but So a lot of processors already support this, and a lot of BIOSes already support this. Mm-hmm. Actually, pretty much, if you guys follow the site, you know that every motherboard that I review, I do a full BIOS walkthrough, and I woke up, I think it was Tuesday, and I had like 50 notifications on YouTube, and everyone was on every one of our BIOS videos. How do I enable TPM? Can this board support TPM? That's like, I was like,
amazing.
Yeah, because it's not something that you enable. So most motherboards actually have a TPM port for a security device. Yep. But you can enable like a virtual TPM. On AMD, it's called FTPM. On Intel boards, it's called PTT, or Platform Trust Technology. And most motherboards do support it. If you look at the compatible CPUs, though, it only goes back to 8th gen.
And 2000 series for Ryzen. So that I had a pretty salty tweet when they announced this earlier in the week. I was like, what did I say? I'm gonna find it, because I thought it was a pretty good tweet, and I don't tweet very often. So
you don't tweet very often.
If I do, I'm just like retweeting or stuff. I said, okay.
Yeah.
So I said, Though I'm sure the decision was made long ago, the requirements surrounding TPM modules and CPU families with regards to Windows 11 seem like a really bad decision, especially during a global chip shortage. Hopefully this can be looked into. So from my viewpoint, right, like the TPM thing's going to be quite a bit of an issue to implement for older systems, because who knows how many systems are out there that were running Windows 7 when it first came out and they upgraded to 10 and are probably assuming they're going to be able to upgrade to 11 that aren't going to be supported with the TPM requirement, at least. And then you're telling me that my 3-4-year-old 1800X with 8 cores and 16 threads can't officially run Windows 11? Give me a break.
Yeah, I mean, that is, and again, only going back to 8th gen on Intel then, as well.
And then you want to, so that implies that, oh, everybody's going to need to get all these new systems to be able to run Windows 11 and have a great experience with it. All right, so where are we getting all these chips from? Or when do you expect this to happen? Because if you haven't looked around, we're kind of in a chip shortage globally. Not just, you know, for computer components, cars, and everything else.
Everything, yeah.
Just kind of disappointing. Maybe they can revise this list or kind of change some things up still. And not that Windows 10 support's going to go away anytime soon. But, I mean, Windows 11 is going to be here this fall.
Yeah. It's
that's my hot take.
I mean, it is kind of surprising because it's like, I mean, you know people. I mean, I know people that have systems that are 10 years old. That are running Windows 10.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, I get you have to set requirements and you for the actual experience. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, you can't have this running on like a Core 2 Duo. You know what I mean? I understand that fully. But like, just like you said, like an 1800X, you know, processor from how long, when did that come out?
2017.
You know, it just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know why. Are they just trying to get people to buy new?
But what does Microsoft get out of?
I mean, maybe people buy new Surfaces, buy their new Surface computers.
Well, speaking of Surface, like two things. My Surface Pro, original Surface Pro, runs Windows 10, right, and has 4 gigs of memory, and it still runs it fine. I just had it on the other day to make sure it was updated. Yeah. But there's, I guess, one of the Surface models right now that they're currently selling and is, you know, decently priced, like over $1,000. I was thinking maybe even $2,000, isn't even compatible with 11, according to their requirements. So,
old man said one of the guys on PC World has a $5,000 system that's not eligible for Windows 11. Hell, even my system's not. I have this system, when I built it, cost close to $5,000. And through upgrades, I think it's probably worth, because I have a 3090 in there now. And I have I upgraded 64 gigabytes of memory and all this other stuff. I mean, I always forget what even system I'm.
And one thing to keep in mind is, like, officially supported, it doesn't mean that it won't run it. And I think what we've seen, or others have seen that have, you know, installed on systems, is you can move past and go ahead and install. I think that's just kind of their system requirements list, you know, minimum requirements type of thing, but we'll let you install. So, I mean,
like, I'm running a soft limit. I'm running a Core i9-7960X, 8 core, 16 thread part, high-end desktop, 64 gigabytes of memory, and I would get that error.
Message,
Yeah, and I believe that this, maybe I'm wrong, I haven't really looked at the BIOS on this board in forever, but I don't know if this BIOS even supports TPM. Probably does.
But I mean, I get the TPM, the move towards TPM, right? I think that's a good good place to be moving towards. So I'm not upset by that, but it is going to cut out a lot of systems. And what really I wonder is, are they going to be more lenient on like the home and pro versions of 11, but on enterprise require it, right? Because, well, if you're running enterprise, you probably have a more strict security. posturing. Yeah. And so that's where they're going to really like build in a hard code to require that module.
I did see somewhere that Microsoft, there'll be certain exceptions to the TPM rule with systems. Mm-hmm. So I think that would probably be like a lot of legacy systems will be kind of like they like OEM systems. So like they're not going to be like the PC that you built. But if you have a Dell from like 7 years ago that doesn't have any of this stuff, maybe I think it's they'll probably charge companies to be part of that legacy, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. Right? Like just like to have a extended support license for Windows 7. Sure.
Yeah. Like they'll be like, yeah, if you want these systems supported or you want these systems to be by like whatever, you have to pay, you know.
Or like, yeah, it's interesting. Kiosk systems, right, that are running Windows in the background, and they just need to sit there and run and do one stupid simple task.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It will be interesting. So, but talking about Windows 11, it will be a free upgrade to Windows 10, which is kind of nice because we weren't really sure. But it won't be a free upgrade until 2022. So as you said, Windows 11 is coming out in the fall. That's when it's coming out. But if you're a Windows 10 user and you want it, you're going to have to pay for it or wait till 2022.
Oh, wait.
I get this. I understand. This is what even
you gotta pay for the new hotness.
Well, I mean, this is why before we had a global chip shortage, this is why you would see a 2080 released first. So people would buy the 2080. And then when that 2060 came out, that price performance, it was like one of the last cards to come out because that's what everybody really wanted. But a lot of people didn't want to wait. So it's the same thing here. You're going to have to wait. The official Windows Twitter replied to somebody and said, Windows 11 is due out later in 2021 and will be delivered over several months. The rollout of... The rollout of the upgraded Windows 10 devices is already in use today and will begin in 2022 through the first half of the year. So I assume just like when Windows 10 happened, you'll get that little notification from on your desktop that says, hey, you can upgrade to Windows 11, and then it will just do it. So yeah, I'll wait. This does have me thinking about upgrading the system. Once again, we've talked about it before. I have a 5950X just collecting dust that we use. And of course, all of our CPU testing. And I was, you know, moving away from high-end desktop, but that maybe I'll do that at that time. And maybe I'll put a Windows 11 on it. I don't know. And then you have to think about compatibility with apps with like, I mean, I use the Adobe suite for photo editing, video editing, audio stuff as well. Like whenever we do this podcast, all the audio gets downloaded, then I put it through Adobe Audition. So it's like, how compatible are certain apps going to be? Is there going to be issues? Is there going to be issues with graphics, hardware, and game? Like there's a lot of stuff.
My rant this afternoon.
Yeah.
11th gen CPUs.
Yeah. So it's like, there were issues going from Windows 7 to Windows 10, a lot of them, and a lot of them with a ton of different things. So it's like, are you just better off just waiting anyways? Because it's going to be a transition period. And all of these, you don't find bugs until there's a massive user base, because we've seen games come out that the developer's like, oh, yeah, it's fine. And then, it's not.
Yeah, I mean, Cyberpunk is one of them. With my combination of hardware.
Yeah,
right? And you're like, so it's why would anybody have that combination of hardware? But no, we didn't. And okay, I guess it is broken.
Yeah, so it was like, I think I would rather wait till there's like millions of users of Windows 11 before I put it on a system that I'm using for work or a system that I'm gaming on. And then I'm in the middle of like we're going to be gaming after this. I'm in the middle of Apex, and I just get a blue screen. I'm like, you know,
who knows? I mean, if it's on a side system or like one you don't use all the time or really don't rely on, run it now. But I agree with you. It's called bleeding edge and cutting edge for a reason, right?
Like, yeah. Kosher is in the house. What's going on, Kosher? Good to see you here. You always come in at the end. We are getting to the end of our news cycle here. So, but good to see you here in the live chat. And so something cool came out. So all of these cloud gaming cloud gaming services, we've seen them. NVIDIA has it. AMD has theirs. There's a couple other ones too. I don't know. But the whole idea is using GPUs that are in the cloud to basically process the game, and then you stream the game on any low power device, a tablet, an iPhone, an Android phone, whatever it may be. And for the most part, this has been geared towards PC gamers, right? But Xbox just released or made available their beta for Xbox Cloud. And basically, this will play console games through your browser, a device, through anything. Available in 22 countries. You can play over 100 games. Starting price is $1 a month for the first 3 months, and then it'll go up to $14.99. Do you think, I know like people want to, especially with the new Xbox, like you want to play at 4K, but like, do you think we'll get to a point where like everything is just in the cloud? Like you don't need the console.
I don't know. People have been saying that for a long time. If you go all the way back to the, I think it was called the Phantom game, the console that was supposed to stream everything. That never really came to fruition. I don't know. It's still going to be a while. You look at like what the definition of bandwidth is, you know, in the US at least. And those numbers are so slow and low that, and for how many people that actually have that connection, I don't think we're going to be there for a long time, especially because that bandwidth connection and people's internet service hasn't kept up with, oh, now we've got a 4K TV and 8K screens are a thing. So like that's going to keep progressing, but it's like the internet speeds haven't kept up to support that.
I agree with that.
And then Kosher said a thing, and
Kosher said Google Stadia. I totally forgot about that as well. I think this would be cool. So like there are a lot of console exclusives. That's what sells an Xbox or a PS5, is that exclusive game. And sometimes we do see that exclusive game come to PC, but it comes to PC like 2 or 3 years later. I could pay $15 and play that game on my PC. I could play it on, you know, with, if I have the bandwidth, I could kind of play that game, I guess, if that makes sense. Which I kind of like. I like the idea. I don't think, if this is something that instead of buying the console, you're paying $15 a month, I don't think that's horrible pricing. I think it's cool. I don't know if this, if you're a current Xbox user, you get something like if you get access to this, or you know, the games you already own are on here. Like I haven't really looked at it, but it's just interesting because it's, you know, it is their, it's console games. That's what's kind of the more interesting thing about it. So
scroll back up to the get started section. It was like a little above. Nope, down. So yeah, to get started, here's what you need. So you got to have the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, compatible device, a controller, and high speed. So they require 10 meg with a 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi, right? So like how many people are still running a 2.4 or have that? I don't remember what the current high speed bandwidth definition is. I feel like it was like 3 megs at one point. And I know quite a few people that a 10 meg connection is what they're at or lower.
So I think it's cool though. I love seeing this because the more of these we have, the better the tech's going to be down the line, right? This probably isn't even going to be a big moneymaker for them, but it's like proof of concept. It's proof of, okay, we can do this whole streaming thing. And then down the line, you know, and again, so many more people are on the go. So many more people are on their phones. And if they can actually have a good gaming experience, because at least in my experience, I haven't played a whole lot of mobile games lately, but most of them are really bad. You know, they're not great. So to have like a Halo or Gears of War, you know, that I could play on my phone with, you know, I could get like one of those controller deals and I could play it and it looks pretty good on my phone, I'm all for it. So,
yeah.
So, yeah. Cool to see. So, and then Old Man said, I imagine you got to have unlimited data if you're using cloud gaming. 2 to 6 hours, yeah. 1080 or higher data streaming will eat up data cap quickly. Yeah, could you stream this on 5G?
That's kind of what I was wondering. You know, like it said a 10 meg connection. Theoretically, yeah.
Yeah, one of my buddies, he said that he's like, this is great and I like it, but whenever I can be on a plane for a couple hours and then be able to do this, he's like, I'm in. You know, because plane has crappy Wi-Fi. It's never, you can't really, you can barely do anything. Like Southwest is actually pretty good.
Some flights you get and you're like, all right, this is a bad.
Yeah. But like some of them, it's like, I like go to Gmail. And if you guys have Gmail and it's like, it knows you have a slow connection. It's like, do you want to load like the, I don't even know what it's called. It's like the text only version of Gmail. And I'm like, yeah, this is way too slow. But yeah, if we get to the point where you can do this on a plane or, you know, whatever, then yeah, that'd be cool. But cool to see from Xbox and Microsoft. So yeah, that brings us to what we have going on next week. We were talking about SSDs. I'm going to be taking a look at Patriot's brand new Viper VP4300. This is a Gen 4 drive, so this is PCI Express 4.0, super, super fast, 7,400 megabytes a second read, right up to 6,800 megabytes a second. I'm just speed, man, speed. So I'm excited for this drive from Patriot. So I remember the last, not this past year, because we didn't have
You're excited for what?
We first saw like these, they were previewing all of these drives at the last CES that we were at.
Yes, CES 2020.
Yeah, CES 2020. And they had them, but like there was no details on the controllers, but they had the speeds. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, like, cause we, you know, from Gen 3, we went from 3,500 megabytes a second. And then the first generation Gen 4s were like 5,000. I'm like, that's a nice little bump. And then they were, you know, 6,800, 7,400, 8,000. I'm like, oh man, this is just going crazy. I'm like super excited. So, and that's another reason I want to go to an X570 system so I can use Gen 4 drives for all my video edit. Yeah. But anyways, but yeah, I'll be taking a look at that. Also taking a look at a pretty interesting looking keyboard. This is the Hermes M5 from GameDAS. Is that how you say that?
Yeah, I used to say like GameDAS, but that's not right. GameDAS, I don't know.
GameDAS. But anyways, this is a Hermes M5 mechanical gaming keyboard. Yeah, very minimalistic look. It has like the teal and white look. Mm-hmm. I haven't opened it yet, so I'll see how true to form that looks like. But yeah, blue mechanical switches, which I'm a fan of.
Ice blue backlight. Coloring, yeah. So not RGB necessarily.
Yeah, so I, like I said, I like it. We shall see. So I'll take a look at that as well. Shinny said speed in all capitals. Gotta get them fast speeds, man. Fast drive speeds. I think it's like beyond graphics cards. I think my favorite thing is storage because I just love the speed. Like
what? Motherboards.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
motherboard's your favorite. Come on,
motherboard makes everything happen. But just how fast drives have gotten, as a content creator with, you know, you're moving files and you're doing all that, and it's like even moving like a file using a portable SSD, especially like 3.2 Gen 2, you know, 2000 megabytes a second, like something that would normally take, like on a normal flash drive, would take like 2 minutes. It's like done in, you know, 10 seconds. Yeah. It's like so much speed. So, Shinny also said, I'm not a fan of white keys, but it does look very clean. Yeah. So I have white keys on this keyboard. And if I would put it closer, they're very, very dirty. And I need to clean them very soon. So I might have a video coming out on that, trying to clean. I have both of these F96 keyboards. They both need clean. So I need to get my
Ducky keyboard out. I opened it, but I haven't even used it.
You got to use it. It's so comfortable.
I know.
Yeah. So you gotta do that. And then finally, we did talk about Windows 11 and everybody wanting to know where is, you know, how do I turn on TPM? How do I turn on PTT on Intel boards? So I'm going to be making a video because I have boards from every major company. I have, except for EVGA, Galaxy. I think those are the only two. And like, I don't have a BioStar board, you know, but I have all these other boards. So I'm going to be making a video showing you on every motherboard BIOS how to enable TPM or PTT. That will include Asus, ASRock, Gigabyte, and Aorus, and MSI, and BioStar Intel, because I have a BioStar Intel board. So
I think that's going to be a pretty popular video.
Yeah, because again, every day I wake up and people on all of our BIOS videos are like, how do I do this? And then I pin the comment so people can find it. But I just decided like I gotta make that video. I have all the boards here. It's just recording and doing all that stuff. So we're gonna go ahead and do that. So that is what's coming up next week. That video should drop by the end of the week if you're one of those people who needs to find that stuff. So we come to the end here and we talk about if we did anything tech related, watched anything, anything like that.
I did start watching WandaVision. I'm behind. Okay. I didn't watch it originally, and I'm way behind on the Marvel MCU movies anyhow, but I've watched 4 episodes, digging it. So we'll probably watch some more tomorrow, but nothing like tech related that I can think of. No, not really.
Yeah, I just been doing reviews. I'm trying to think if I watched anything. No, nothing like tech related, I don't think.
You do have quite a few lights back there. Like, I'm seeing there's something. Oh, do you have lights on the back of that table behind you?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, I see like, that. Yeah.
Because I know there's the two, but then there's a strip along the back of that white table.
Yeah. So that's changing colors.
Yes. Okay.
So I just have a normal.
I guess I do have the.
Oh. Go ahead.
I have that desk coming in, the mechanical. Yeah. Sit stand desk, the legs and stand came in earlier this week. Tabletop supposed to show up tomorrow. I'm excited about the material. I really want to see how it looks. I ordered the bamboo. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, so Ryan's getting a standing desk, so he's going to be part of the standing desk crew. I'm pro standing desk. It's different, and I think it does help if you actually like do it. It does help you become more productive because like if you're sitting down, I can just like sit here as I close my thing, but like I can just sit there and just like be lazy and just watch. But if you're standing, you just feel like you're more into what you're actually doing. Yeah. So hopefully this desk helps you out. So that is coming to Ryan. So we'll have info on that in the coming weeks. Shinny said he went back to work in the office this week. Now my boss can yell at me in person.
That's right.
Yeah. We're going to be jumping over to Twitch though, because of course Wednesday nights also mean gaming nights. We're playing some Apex Legends. I think Shinny will be joining us. So we're not completely horrible. Twitch.tv/ThinkComputers. Definitely head on over there. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. I always feel like I forget that I'm not telling you guys something. Definitely get your entry in on the Viper Gaming Summer Gaming Essentials giveaway that we're doing. 3 awesome prizes that you can go ahead and win there. But yeah, guys, until next week, we will catch y'all later.